It's Dieter and Jake on a Wednesday night, and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. No. Every day, we move further away from God and closer to a resolution with Brandon Ayuk. Or so I thought. Maybe it's the other way around. We stray
or further. So, yeah, or so they've told us unconvincingly, and everyone's going, yeah, something is happening. Maybe, definitely. It's definitely happening. Maybe.
Agents are just hanging out in the background. It's going great. It's going great, Jake. How are you doing, buddy? How are you surviving the chaos of these streets?
I'm good. I'm a little over my Western Kentucky career, my dynasty, but that's to figure out later. Good, you know. Aside from a headache, came out of nowhere. You know.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
We're good. I think Ayuk, you know, it's probably weirder than any. Is it weirder right now with Ayuk than the Jimmy G? They're going to try and trade him and then no one wants him thing. Because that was pretty weird.
That was predictable in a way, though. There was like a level of like, how do you think this ends up? And it wasn't the 49ers, as you've noted accurately on Twitter, and that like making a move, right? That was the passiveness to it all. And this is the 49ers perhaps doing a masterful gambit, sir, where everything that they were trying to speed this thing up and get somewhere, and then it all just sort of blew up in their face, and yet to be seen. But it is not going well for anyone right now. There's a very, very weird energy to it. And I'm not going to lie, Jake, this isn't the topic. We'll get into the details and the nitty gritty of what we've heard about Brandon Ayuk, what we think happens with Brandon Ayuk. We'll get a little galaxy brain with it, all these things. But man, I'm not going to lie to you. Training camp has sucked. And it is a privilege, of course, to be able to do this professionally instead of working a real job. I'm not in any way, you know, let me put it to you this way. If you're someone who took off work, I hope that you were taking off work, given the hours, and paying $20, which is obscene, to watch these training camp practices, you've been swindled, because this team has provided zero juice whatsoever on the practice field.
This is a good tie-in to one, the juice of practice, not Kyle Juszczyk, because I know someone's about to comment that.
He gets a lot of veteran off days, like a lot of players do.
Yeah. And the Ayuk situation. So Fred Warner talked today, and he was asked, like, is there anyone else you've singled out? Because you singled out Ayuk, and he's like, oh, no. No. I mean, maybe Jordan Mason. He's like, no, not really. And I'm just saying, like, that kind of matters when all of last training camp was Ayuk and Warner going at it and fighting. And it was like the iron sharpening iron thing is cringy in coach speak. But like when you see two of your best players going at it in training camp, like that means something. And when, you know, it's the most significant practice of the week and Warner's out with foot irritation and everyone's being asked about Ayuk and they're like, I don't like it. You know, the vibes are weird. Like, the vibes are weird. And practice hasn't been, you don't have Pearsall out there. You don't have Ayuk out there. You don't have Trent Williams. Fred Warner was not out there today. Christian McCaffrey is hurt. Elijah Mitchell is hurt.
Every day it's a new guy getting injured. Every day it's a new group of guys getting veteran off days. And to this point, you haven't seen a practice where you feel like, oh, this team's got something here. You'll see these flashes. You'll see these moments. And certainly there's stuff to parse as we think about a 53-man roster. But there's never been a moment where you're like, these boys are cooking. And I can tell you earnestly, in every other training camp that I've covered with the 49ers, I could get a read on if this team was good or not in training camp. And it's not to say it's perfect. It's not to say that it's anything beyond a vibe, but like when they started 3-5, and I'm telling you right now, it's not revisionist history. It's not hindsight being 2020. Straight up, when they started 3-5, you go, this team doesn't have the right energy. They don't appear ready for the season, and they have treated several Septembers throughout the Kyle Shanahan era as sort of an extended preseason, and those were the years where they got burned, even if they ended up in an NFC championship game. At the end of it, those were the years that didn't result in positive outcomes. And that cannot happen this year, Jake, because they need to make hay in September and October. That's when their schedule is easiest. And that's when the rest deficit that they face, which is as significant as any team in the NFL, isn't there. But there has not been one day of practice where I go, whew, these guys are crisp. And iron sharpened iron, you're right. It's cringy, that stuff. But you see it. You see crispness. You see execution. We haven't seen that yet.
Debo's been pretty good. I won't say he's he started off really hot and then I just think he's gotten less reps, but he's looked really good. Yeah. Again, he runs two routes pretty much, and he does
very well at them.
Right. And that's maybe three, sometimes a deep ball, but he's been good. Bose has been great. Bose had four sacks today. Mm-hmm. But it's also you're watching Bose and you're like, he's just having the easiest time with Colton McKivitz and Jalen Moore. And you're like, when are you going to get Trent Williams in the building?
It's definitely not an iron sharpens iron situation. This is an iron absolutely decimating some soft, crappy Chinese knockoff.
You watched him forklift Jordan Mason today.
I yelled out, and listen, it takes it legitimately takes a lot. You were talking to a PR official, won't name names, and going through, they were boning you pretty openly. And I'm standing there trying to mind my own business, even though technically it turned out to be my business. And we'll get into all that. So you'll know what happened or didn't happen in the not too distant future. Regardless, I'm trying to listen a little bit, a little eavesdropping, trying to watch practice. And I yelled out in the middle of a scrimmage, "Oh my God," loudly. I'd been up since 3:30 in the morning. Right. So there's a certain level of restraint that I no longer possess. But yelling, "Oh my God," in a practice, not my finest moment. But Nick Bosa picked up Jordan Mason and flipped him. He flipped an adult man, a big man that plays in the NFL. He flipped him.
A guy who knocked incredible. Fred Warner on his ass on a blitz pickup yesterday.
He's a pretty good blitz pickup guy. He's a pretty good
physical running back.
He got flipped, Jake. They physically flipped him. It wasn't like an accident where, he was already going up. And then Bosa took his hands and just said, "Get out of the fucking way." And that Bosa fellow is very, very good. And I think the 49ers feel very, very good about the contract that they gave him. And then we pivot to another player. I mean, I saw on NFL Network this morning, and this has been a good thought exercise that I think we have done separately, but certainly have thought about it over the last couple of weeks, which is, who are the most important 49ers players? And I think it's terribly pressing because 71 might be at the top of the list in Trent Williams. Maybe you're a quarterback guy and you say it's 13, but it's hard to make the argument that Trent Williams isn't one or two on this team. Nick Bosa is obviously a vital, important part of this offense. Make the argument that Fred Warner is too. What happens if Fred Warner's out? All hell breaks loose. Yep. Debo Samuel. Oh, yeah, there's that guy Christian McCaffrey, who Kyle Shanahan just quickly slid in his press conference the other day.
He's just out for the preseason.
He's just out for the preseason. Don't worry about it. Just, it's no big deal. He's out for the preseason. Yep. That was super fun and classy and definitely not suspicious. And
Elijah Mitchell,
there's a name that I haven't said yet. And it's Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk wants to be paid, he'd be the highest paid player on offense beside the quarterback. He wants to be paid more than Trent Williams is asking.
Debo's got 20. If we're talking year over year average, I think.
And that, he would. By the way, that is apparently what Brandon Ayuk's about. That this is an ego play for him, and that he's about that AAV, which we've talked about months earlier. That's a fool's errand. That is just vanity talking.
Let's talk. So on the table, been reported now explicitly, was offered a $32 million a year deal with good guarantees from the Patriots, who were we suck ass. We are bad. We have a young quarterback. Please, God, come to us. We have to make a Godfather offer because we know you don't want to come here. And they did, apparently, to the 49ers, who were okay, we'll take that. and to Ayuk. And Ayuk went, no, I'm not going to the Patriots. I've been trying to, so I think the main reason he likes Pittsburgh is Tomlin, which is fair, but like
lot to like Pittsburgh, with Tomlin.
Right. Tomlin, they are always competitive. My thing is, like, the Steelers do not have a good quarterback situation.
No.
Like, if you're going to turn down, like, a bad situation that pays you a lot for a slightly better situation, I would say Pittsburgh's more than slightly better. They're better, but the quarterback situation's terrible.
You're talking then the Patriots?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
And by the way, we should note the Browns are in there, too, with a terrible quarterback situation. They got the nasty right. man.
And he's like, he's not very good anymore. I get that. Pittsburgh is at least a competent organization. They have Mike Tomlin. I get that. Yeah. That said, like, for you to be like, oh, I really want to go there, I don't totally see the selling point, you know, they're actually going to pay him.
But I get the selling point. I get the selling point, which is the point that I was just making. There are so many players, and by the way, Kyle Shanahan as well, that take the light when we talk about the greatness of the San Francisco 49ers, the excellence of the 49ers. And it works as a detriment when you're Christian McCaffrey and you're trying to win MVP, or you're Brock Purdy and you're trying to win MVP. And it doesn't work in Brandon Ayuk's favor when you're trying to get paid, because the 49ers are like, one, we got to pay all these dudes. And two, like, just how important are you? Right. And Brandon Ayuk's out here on podcasts and stuff saying, imagine what I can do with Jaden Daniels. And it's like, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't line up. He's a rookie quarterback. I mean, I'm going to draft him in fantasy, but like, that's not the point. It's neither here nor there. He clearly views himself, as his offer implies, if not straight up says, as one of the elite receivers in the NFL. He has claim to that. There are things that he can point to that say yes, but then again, the 49ers have a lot of elite players, and he might be just part of the system. He might just be a byproduct of Kyle Shanahan and his offense. And so if you go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're going to find out just how good you are, because you will be the number one, the number two, you're going to be everything for them on offense. As much as I think George Pickens is a hell of a player, who frankly the Niners must demand in this trade, like, Najee Harris ain't getting it done, baby. And their offensive line, even though they've gotten some very good pickups in this last draft class, like, nothing all that impressive. And their quarterbacks kind of suck. And the rest of their wide receivers are questionable at best. Brandon Ayuk would be the man. And it's kind of an easy thing where you go, I'm playing for a premier franchise right. in the San Francisco 49ers, national fan base, big recognition, but I'm not getting the recognition I want. Go to Pittsburgh, you get the same sort of thing, national fan base, big brand, and I'll get the recognition. It's kind of a bet on himself. Yeah. It just so happens someone else is paying the wager.
And we've talked about that. I think a huge part of how this has gone down and how Ayuk's handled it is he has been an under-the-radar guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he's blocked his ass off, and he dealt with Shanahan putting him in the doghouse briefly, and he handled all that in stride. Now he's like, oh, you're not even going to negotiate with me? Like, ship me off. Let me be the guy.
Totally. Totally. It also goes two ways, right? You don't get the recognition and you're not the man here in San Francisco. Well, then you also don't get the scrutiny that comes when you don't perform. And right. I have to dig deeper into these details. I had a guy on Twitter this morning. I mean, first off, I'm doing KMBR this morning, and a texter comes in and goes, you know, Brandon Ayuk couldn't get it done against true number one corners, like elite corners. And I go, my gut reaction is, I don't know about that. That seems like a pretty ham-fisted take. And then you look it up and you go, well, he wasn't very good against Green Bay. He wasn't very good against Seattle. He was good in one game against Seattle. Guess who didn't play? Witherspoon. Wasn't very good against Denzel Ward and the Browns. Wasn't very good against Baltimore and Marlon Humphrey. And again, there's a lot of nuance and details to all of this, but no one talks about his bad games. And by you go, oh, well, he had actually a nice game against Baltimore. Yeah, when they were down 33-12, he got 95 yards in the fourth quarter. No one talks about those bad games because, well, Brandon Ayuk isn't the number one option. He's not even the number two option. 85, I didn't even mention, is on this team. He might be the number three option. So you know, it goes both ways. You want the recognition. You also have to carry the burden when you don't show up. And if we're just talking about the playoffs, I know he had the catch against Detroit, but he was persona non grata against Green Bay. Outside of the catch in Detroit, he was not a factor, and Deebo Samuel had to come in and sacrifice his body to save that game. And against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I know he was open more than the ball was thrown to him, but there were plenty of plays where he just could not separate whatsoever. The scrutiny didn't come for him because the attention's not fully on him. We'll see how much he likes it. I guess that's what the money's for, right, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, and I won't pretend I've gone through every single all 22 and looked at every single play he's had. And there's some games like I've seen, like I'm a huge supporter of what he's done, especially last season.
He's an outstanding player.
Right. But I guess that's the question of like if he's just a pure number one, there isn't anything else in the offense. And that's also something that you don't know until you leave. And that's a grass is greener thing. Totally. The thing that I have been sort of wrestling with that's been the whole thing doesn't make sense to me because Ayuk is a very, I don't care what you call him, great, elite, whatever.
Yeah, that's a semantical thing. He is a second team all pro, right. Definitively.
Yeah, he's an all pro wide receiver who is the number one target on your offense. You are a month away. The number one wide receiver? Yeah.
He's the X receiver, but is he the number one target?
Number one target. I mean, he led the team in targets. Okay. You know, I mean, are you asking if he's the number one weapon? I'm saying he's the number one, like, actual receiver on this team.
Yes. Like, and an X receiver is a very important thing in a Kyle Shanahan offense with a competent quarterback.
Right.
And I'm derailing you from your point. Proceed.
My thing is, it's August 7th. Mm-hmm. The 49ers have proven themselves. They have made a lot of mistakes, sure. They've also proven themselves to be overwhelmingly competent, to year over year continue to build on success, to get good players, pay them when they're tier A players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Brock Purdy's a huge wrinkle into that, and we'll get into that. But they have an established way of doing things. And on August 7th, to say, oh, Ayuk's making us uncomfortable. We don't like how he's hanging around the building. Like that, if that's your logic for trading him and you don't get, like, let's just say, like, Devontae Adams, you are out of your mind. Like, that's an objectively poor way to make decisions. And if they do that, I don't know how you defend it.
No, there is no defending it. Because even the best trade that you can make right now, as has been currently presented, you are taking a hit for 2024. Even if, for some reason, the trade that has been suggested with the Browns is consummated, and you get Amari Cooper and a second-round pick, you are taking a bit of a hit with Amari Cooper. And I think Cooper's a very good player, and he's very comparable to Brandon Ayuk. But he's not Brandon Ayuk, who in theory has levels that he can get to beyond what he's already shown. Whereas we know the best Amari Cooper is going to be, and it's damn good. And it might even be outstanding. Again, semantical argument. But it's not Brandon Ayuk. It's close, but it's not. And so you get that little extra something for the 2025 draft to make you whole. That's the best case scenario. The scenario that's been presented, and I can't get anyone to give me anything differently here, so I'm just going to roll with it. The scenario that's been presented is you get some toss-in players and a bunch of draft picks from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're trading away an all-pro on August 7th while he's healthy, and all you're going to get is a Pat Freiermuth at best. Not that he's a toss-in player, but that's the best you can do.
And I don't even think it's going to be him.
It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable general managing. And by the way, just because you got the ick from that dap, Kyle, doesn't mean that you can just say what I heard, and, you know, shouts to your station, but I flipped it on accidentally for about 30 seconds today. And they said that getting rid of Brandon Ayuk would be addition by subtraction. On what fucking planet is getting rid of an all-pro before the season addition by subtraction? What are you talking about? I do agree with our assessment here. Obviously, it's our assessment that camp has been awkward, and frankly, the team either consciously or subconsciously has said, our full squad isn't here. Why should we go full speed? I do think that there has been an effect on the team from this Brandon Ayuk saga. Yeah. And we are fully in a saga right now.
Players are sad. Like, you ask them about it and they're like, yeah. Like, they're like kind of sulking up there. They're like, yeah, it's weird. It sucks. Like, Nick Bosa being like, yeah, I trust Kyle and John, but like, he's really fucking good.
Yeah, it'd be really bad. I mean, because again, they know this doesn't happen. This has never happened before, Jake. No one trades an all-pro player in the preseason. Straight, there's no other caveats needed. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. This is not an emergency. This is something that could have been handled before the draft, after the draft, during free agency, whenever. And it's now being handled. And I understand that the 49ers were probably trying to put a scare tactic in Brandon Ayuk by saying, hey, you've been talking all this big game about what the market says you're worth. Prove it. Here's the market. Yep. And Brandon Ayuk, to his credit, who has played this thing pretty poorly, has used what leverage the 49ers afforded him and has turned it into, I'm only going to Pittsburgh, so make it work. And now it's on the 49ers to think to themselves, are we comfortable with bringing this guy back? Because this guy clearly has hurt feelings. He clearly doesn't want to be here. And how much is it worth to us to let him go? And I would say very clearly, the answer to that question is not the delta between the value Brandon Ayuk has as a player and what the hell you're going to get back for the 2024 season from the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless that guy is George Pickens, in which case I'm down with all of this because George Pickens is sick.
I'm not down if it's George Pickens. Like, here's the thing. Kyle is so particular about receivers.
Yeah.
Like, that's why this thing is psychotic in so many ways. Like, you have the guy, like, also, you bring in Amari Cooper, you bring in anyone, you think they're just going to, day one, commit to blocking their ass off on these outside zone runs you're obsessed with and need wide receivers to block, to execute? Like,
yeah,
you have Brandon the guy. Was
literally the best rated blocker in the NFL last year as a wide receiver, and he didn't miss one all campaign.
It's just, it's something where you cannot make an argument that trading Brandon Ayuk on August 7th is a good bit of business if your aspirations are the Super Bowl. Like, there's just no world in which that is. And he has a $15 million player option. Mm-hmm. And what is he going to hold out all year? Try him. He's not, that's why he held in. He's not liquid like Trent Williams, who has like $170 million in career earnings. Like, Ayuk has money, but like, you think he wants to lose all that? Like, I think there's more games to play, but like, if you're Kyle Shanahan, if you're John Lynch, come to the table. Like, and maybe this is something where it is just Jed and Jed saying, no, I'm not going above this. We're paying Brock this much in guaranteed money. And I have to put, and guaranteed money, folks, like, gets put up front, and it's, you get this check, it gets prorated over the years, but players get that check basically right away, depending on how they write it out, but basically right away. And so like,
it has to be money, an escrow.
Yes, goes into the bank. And so you're thinking, okay, I got to give Trent another however many million. I usually do one of these in offseason, you know, not two at the same time. Are we liquid? Like, maybe that's part of it. And maybe it's just the guarantees are dog shit. And that's what it is. But I think the 49ers.
I haven't heard that. I've heard that it's all about the annual. And, I can't say if Jed is or isn't. Jed becomes such a boogeyman, and it seems as if this is not operating on that level. We would know if it was operating on that level. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just ignorant and naive to all of this, and in the not-too-distant future, we'll find out that, in fact, that this is an issue. I'll say this, 187 checking in. The NFL cap is real. You and I, Jake, over the years, I know where you're going to go. But I really do think that there is something to this. Over the years, the 49ers treated the NFL salary cap as if it was real. They were hardcore And they were, you know, down to the cent accurate with how they reported. They were very good boys and very good accountants. And over the last couple of seasons, which may just coincide with Parath taking over at Leeds United and taking on a larger role there, just a coincidence perhaps. But in the last couple of seasons, as the 49ers have said, we're in a Super Bowl window, we're all in, we have a quarterback, he makes jack shit, they've gone all in. And they're throwing money around pretty loose. They're pretty loose with the money. Christian McCaffrey wants a new contract? Come on down. We need a defensive tackle? Hey, Javon Hargrave, how much do you want? There's a lot of deals that have been made over the last couple of years that have been pretty fast and loose. Now, they're obviously going to enter a new era with whatever they pay Brock Purdy. But it's interesting. Brock Purdy hasn't even started 50 NFL games yet. Okay, and I'm not here to say that Brock Purdy isn't worth whatever he'll get on the market, but the 49ers got out a little bit ahead of their skis, and it's part of the reason why I would imagine Brandon Ayuk here feels so aggrieved. They 49ers don't want to come up $2 or $3 million to match market rate with inflation on wide receiver contracts, but they are more than willing to tell everybody, including Brandon Ayuk and his agent, that they're going to pay Brock Purdy whatever it costs to keep him around, and it's like, the fuck... I'm worth something too here. And now not only are they very openly saying, oh, we'll just give Brock whatever he wants. Contrary to
55 million, 60 million. You want it? Come on down. We don't care.
We're just making it up. And contrary, by the way, to how they've treated everybody else, including Nick Bosa, who is a future Hall of Fame player, including clearly now Trent Williams, who is a future Hall of Fame player. They just go Purdy, whatever Brock Purdy wants. And that's going to peeve Brandon Ayuk, who wants his money on the one contract that he can really make generational wealth with. And two, I think it has knocked the 49ers back into their old ways. And maybe this is where ownership comes into play, because when they are openly thinking about Brock Purdy's contract, Brock Purdy's contract, Brock Purdy's contract, well, now we've seen that fast and loose mentality with money really tighten up. And we're getting into the era of austerity here. And that means that, right or wrong, they feel like every cent matters again. And that's why they're playing hardball with Brandon Ayuk, who, by the way, hasn't, you know, is trying to make this thing messy. He hasn't played this thing well, but he has made it messy. And that might actually have been the gambit the full time here.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think something that, I don't know, it's interesting with this team is like, and it kind of a red flag that I think we flagged a little bit from the start. And when we're talking about where this team is and this is the last run at it, sort of like, okay, could they extend this? Whatever. You've got a lot of guys asking for money now. They're saying, you've got Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, both of whom fully under contract, both of whom had deals in place and said,
for multiple years.
You're going to multiple years, not just lame duck. Trent has three left. I think McCaffrey had two. And they said, no, guarantee us our money, pay us now, or we're not coming in and you need us. And that is both good business on their part and also signals that, oh, they also know Brock is getting paid next offseason and you do it right now. When you have all this leverage, but also might the wheels be about to fall off? Is this the last chance where you guys are like healthy and feel like yourselves after a Super Bowl? Maybe you're exhausted and you're saying, if they don't give me my money, I'm just going to, I can chill. I'm good.
That's the trend.
I don't think that's what those guys want to do. They're very competitive. They want to win a Super Bowl. I'm just saying there have been concerning signs from the start. And again, I'm someone like, players should get their money. They put their bodies on the line in a brutal sport that is murderous, and you should get paid.
Yeah.
But it's also like there are scenarios where they'd say, no, I'm good with what I got in place. You know, let's run it back, bet on myself next year, whatever. Have some contracts next year. And then meanwhile, Ayuk, the youngest of them all, is just getting snubbed. They made one offer in May, and then they go, take it or leave it. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm 26. I'm an all-pro wide receiver. What do you mean? And also, they could have gotten a deal done if they didn't do this bullshit thing every year where they go, oh, we're gonna bring this out into camp. Mm-hmm. If you're really gonna do that, you better have the nuts to say, okay, when this gets awkward, mm-hmm. we're gonna be fine. We're gonna steal it. We're gonna be fine. And they usually do. They're usually yeah. fine. And for some reason, this one, unless this is a 300 IQ thing where I put it out there like they want Ayuk to see the market and they wanna put more pressure on him that way, and it's a little tit for tat, and then you come back to the table, and maybe that's how it plays out. Unless that's the plan. It's a really immature way on their part to handle all this.
And again, we come back to the basics of Brandon Ayuk clearly wants to go to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is very willing to pay Brandon Ayuk, but ultimately there is a third party involved in all of this. It's the team that currently employs Brandon Ayuk, and they have to be made whole in this process too. And to this point, Pittsburgh has not done that. And I don't think they ever will do that, which leaves us in a very awkward situation moving forward. I don't know what the resolution is on this right now. I do have some thoughts on what the resolution could be, though, Jake, if you're at all interested.
Oh, I'm up for it.
I think the NFL, first off, when we say that this stuff isn't done, you're not trading an all-pro on August 7th, especially when he's healthy. He's not doing sit-ups in a driveway. He's not, you know, an Antonio Brown type. There's a peculiarity to the timing here that is it makes it strictly unique. And I think that, you know, unique circumstances call for unique resolutions. And I think that there's a pretty good resolution here, but it involves something that hasn't happened in the NFL in a very long time, which is a three-way trade. I think the 49ers, and by the way, they're not outlawed. I had to look that up because they just don't happen. I figured, oh, they must have outlawed. Nope, still good. Still good. You could still do a three-way trade, but because there are so few.
Yeah.
Go on. There's so few player-for-player trades, much less like big player-for-player trades, complex player-for-player trades. You end up where this thing just hasn't happened in years and years and years. So the Niners do need a wide receiver, right? They need to get a wide receiver to replace, to whatever degree you can replace him, Brandon Ayuk in the X spot for this upcoming season. Question is, you know, how good of a receiver can you get? When they were talking to the Patriots, they weren't offering Javon Baker. They were offering Kendrick Bourne. Well, that's not a replacement for Brandon Ayuk. That's somebody who splits time with Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, and you have kind of a three-headed monster at X, which, you know, might end up being okay, but it ain't Brandon Ayuk, second-team all. So there aren't that many X receivers of a high quality available. And there's certainly not a lot that, you know, teams are willing to give up. Amari Cooper is one of them. And you look and you say, you know, where else could you find one? Where else could you find one of these X receivers that's available? How about the guy who grew up in Palo Alto? How about a guy, East Palo Alto, former
Fresno State,
former Green Bay Packer, knows the offense, Devontae Adams, who has had just a hell of a time. A cautionary tale for Brandon Ayuk, if you will.
A guy who, what was it, like two games into the season last year?
Just
was like, I got to get the hell out of here or I'm going to die.
Can't do this. Can't do this. And that's how I felt every day when Jimmy Garoppolo was the 49ers quarterback. I got to get the fuck out of here. Regardless, we have persevered and here we are. Devontae Adams is there. I don't, you know, again, much like with the Browns, like I can't say that the Raiders are rational actors. I have no idea why the Browns are offering what they're offering to the 49ers and to Brandon Ayuk when they already have a perfectly good Amari Cooper there and whatever. But the Browns aren't rational actors. They guaranteed all of Deshaun Watson's money. I can't take them seriously as an operation. So, you know, maybe take advantage if you got a crazy on the line 49ers. I would put the Raiders somewhat in the same camp. You know, Tom Tedesco is running that operation now. Okay, good luck with that. Went great in LA. Went really well. If you need someone to leak you information to talk about on the radio, have I got a GM for you? But not exactly a great track record of building winners in the past. And he got that job because, well, you know, if you're not going to build a winner, the Raiders have always got a job for you. And I just look at where they're at. They have two stopgap quarterbacks. They have a defense that's kind of a hot mess, kind of have a stopgap head coach, right? There's nothing about this that feels like it has sustainability or that it's foundational.
It's Devontae Adams and Max Crosby and apparently seven first-round tight ends.
And that's, yeah, great job, everybody. I mean, there is a – this feels like a rebuild. It really does. That hasn't even really started. Like a year zero situation for the Las Vegas Raiders. And Devontae Adams is not going to be around by the time these guys are relevant or interesting or good again. And I think that the 49ers need to get a third party involved because Pittsburgh is not, you know, Pittsburgh's interested in winning football games. That's what they do. They go just above 500, make the playoffs, and here we go. So if Pittsburgh is only offering draft picks and guys who they're willing to give up because, you know, they're the 45th man on the roster, can you get those things, toss in a little bit of something yourself, and get back Devontae Adams in a three-team deal where the Raiders pick up a lot of draft picks from the Steelers and the Niners toss in maybe a fourth and they get back like a third or maybe it's a fourth and a fifth swap.
And the Raiders eat some salary because Devontae Adams has got a 35. Oh, wait, no, that's next year. Next year he's got 35.
Nah, and look at the guaranteed money. Look at the guaranteed money on that. So the prorated signing bonus would be held by the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
But there's Niners, zero guaranteed
he'd cost
money.
17. He'd cost 17 to the Niners, which salary-wise works out kind of perfectly with Ayuk leaving.
Right. And this isn't to say that you have to keep Devontae Adams. Much like with Amari Cooper, you can just get rid of him at the end of the year and say, we're going to stick with Deebo Samuel or whatever. You got a lot of ways you can restructure it. There's a lot of ways you can go about your business if you're the 49ers there. And this isn't even to imply that Devontae Adams is on the level of a Brandon Ayuk right now. I do think he's lost a step. And that's not to say that he's still not a very, very good player, but I think that he's just a tier below. But if that's the best the 49ers can do, they better do the best they can do. Because the alternative, as it's been presented to us, and or maybe it's just specifically to me, and maybe I don't know shit, is a bunch of draft picks and dudes who...
If I hear the name James Daniels again, I'm going to lose my shit.
Who the fuck is James Daniels, Jake? they're not talking
Troy Calvin Austin, the third?
Yeah, I don't care about these guys. I don't care about these guys. I don't think they're any good. If they were any good, the Steelers wouldn't be giving them up.
Right. And that goes back to my point, my initial point, which is like 49ers have shown themselves that they're not idiots, I think, for the most part. They've done dumb things.
Every now and again, they have their moments.
Right. But this would be poverty franchise level. This is not something that they've shown is in character, which is why all that shit of people putting out random guards and like fifth string wide receivers for Ayuk, I don't buy it. And I will listen, if I'm wrong, okay, I'm wrong, but I'm not the idiot who made that deal. I'm giving the 49ers the benefit of the doubt, which I think they've earned.
Okay.
The reports are not inspiring that they will continue to earn that. But if that's the sort of deal they do, you lose a ton of goodwill. You prove yourselves shook. Objectively shook. Yeah. I just have trouble believing that is the route they're going to end up going. I think it would be idiotic, and I think they're smart enough to know that, but we'll see.
It is messy, to say the absolute least. And I don't know how this thing gets solved, because let's just even pretend the 49ers use their leverage, which they've maintained the entire time, which they've maybe ceded in theory over the last couple of days, but in practicality still exists, which is they do nothing. They don't trade them.
Yeah.
They let them hold in. By the way, nothing forbidding them from saying, actually, we don't think your injury's real. Time to practice. And what's he going to do? Take it up with the PA? His injury isn't real. I'm sure as a football player.
Was it a sore back?
It was a neck and a back.
Shanahan went, I don't know, it's a sore back, whatever.
Get in the fucking line. You know, like, get in line. I'm sure you do. You know what that means? You're an adult man over the age of 25. You got a sore neck and a sore back? Yeah, I bet so. You play professional football for a living. It's only going to get worse, buddy. They can call him in at any time. They haven't done it because it's not a tactful thing to do. But if we're past the point of grace and tact, get to work, Brandon. And it'd be kind of shitty and it'd be super messy. And I do not envy the 49ers PR team for getting to handle that once locker rooms are open. But in the meantime, your Super Bowl window stays open. So is it about the player or is it about the vibes?
I mean, listen, you also remember Jimmy Ward, his last year. Every single time he talked to us, he's like, yeah, they're making me play nickel. It's a bunch of bullshit. I hate it. But, you know, what am I going to do? Like, that's a scenario. Listen,
there's a lot of dudes in the NFL who are disgruntled. You know, by the way, like we haven't heard an ounce from Deebo Samuel, who was shopped around openly to every team in the NFL and probably received a call at one point, because I heard about it, that said, hey, you've actually been traded or you're going to be traded here and we got to hammer out some details and maybe you should call them up to do a new contract. Like he was ready to go to the East Coast and he's still here. And the 49ers made it pretty clear, like, we're not going to have you once we sign Brock. Amid all the other things that people get to think about with Brock Purdy, like Deebo Samuel's basically told, like, you're in a lame duck year. We haven't heard a peep of nonsense. And that dude knows how to bring the nonsense.
Like, and he's showed up in shape. Talked to him today. He's in shape.
He's
and I've been as critical as anyone of him in the Super Bowl. And huge reason why they lost. Because he can't separate from man, which is another reason. This whole thing does not make sense to me. And we haven't even mentioned Ricky Pearsall, guy who we both really, really like.
It has looked really, really good when we've seen him. Yeah, that's the thing.
Hamstring injury, tweaked a shoulder in OTAs and tweaked it the other day. Like, he's got to be out there. And you can't just bet rookie year that all that. And he's like an overworker. So if there's any attrition that he's like overworking on, like, that's a real problem. And if that's just your only bet, as much as I'm high on Pearsall, like he's got to prove that he's healthy. He's got it. Is Pearsall separating versus press? I missed a few days. You were there, but every day I've seen him, he is snapping off of the top of routes.
You can't press him.
Huge separation.
You can't press him. He's awesome. He's really awesome. But the concerns coming out are, how is he going to handle the physicality? And my counter was always watch any game he played, because he was basically getting nothing but hospital balls and he was still going out. I mean, it was like he had a shittier version of Garoppolo as his quarterback for the entire season. And he was sick enough to be a first round pick and absolutely kicked ass. But yeah, he has, he starts on non-football injury, immediately does the hamstring thing, now the shoulder thing again. And as when he is on the field, you go, these guys don't need Brandon Ayuk, which is an oversimplification and simply not true. But you feel a lot better about a world without Brandon Ayuk when Ricky Pearsall's out here just dudes. And wrecking, by the way, an elite secondary, right?
It's also,
in a way that no one else is wrecking them.
I asked Daniel Bullocks about him. He Daniel Bullocks is a safeties coach or DB's coach for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has a presence. Like, you feel him. He's like, you feel him. Like, you feel his presence on the field, which is like, listen, coaches will hype up anybody. But like, when a guy's not good, they'll also be like, he's working on stuff.
We got some stuff we're working on with him, and it's tough. It's a tough transition to the NFL. We haven't heard that at all. What we've heard this boy's scary.
And he's too, and like Leonard Hankerson said, he's like a little too hard on himself, where he's obsessed with winning every rep. He's like, it's not going to happen. But like, when he's out there, looks great, but he is a rookie who has been hurt. And the other thing is, when you watch this offense and they don't have Pearsall out there and they don't have Ayuk out there, nobody's separating. Like, you've got Juwan Jennings, who's like winning, but he's not really separating. And Deebo runs his routes, but like, there's always somebody on top of Deebo. Like, like when he's running around, because he doesn't have that craft. Like, he runs sort of loopy routes. And he's great. Deebo's great. He's had a great camp, but it's never like, oh, this guy's wide the hell open for the most part. And again, Deebo came with Jimmy. It's the sort of short ball run after catch thing. We know what Deebo is. But it's a mess of an offense without a true X.
Well, and we saw last year what happened when Debo's not in there. And, you know, the Niners did do okay when Ayuk wasn't in there, but they were playing the Giants in that game. And there's a lot to parse. And obviously the Niners are going to have to choose between one or the two. And maybe they lose both of them by this time next year. But 187 checking in. We made it to the Super Bowl without BA and CMC with Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. You should relax. Then what happened? By the way, I should note, you know, 2019 was a long time ago. The 2019 49ers had DeForest Buckner. They had Emmanuel Sanders, who was one hell of a player. They had a Raheem Mostert in the backfield doing some pretty good stuff. That defense is as good as any defense we've seen in the NFL post Legion of Boom.
Yeah. Emmanuel Mosley, like Kevin Williams was like at his peak. That defensive line was like as good as they've ever had it. They were the truth. Also, I know it wasn't in the Super Bowl, but like Quan Alexander that season was sick until he like tore his pec.
Quan Alexander was sick. Legendary, perhaps even.
I don't miss that, but I miss it a little bit.
You got to have a little crazy on your team. We got MVP Purdy now, says 187. And I think the entire team is being built around Brock Purdy as we speak. I know that has been something we knew was going to happen. And I think that you can make a pretty strong argument. Shouldn't you keep his number one receiver, or at least the X receiver, the guy that he's shown a lot of chemistry with? Perhaps not. But if Brock Purdy's as good as we think Brock Purdy is, he's got to make do with what he's got. Because, by the way, this is not a new story where, hey, you had a cheap quarterback and you had all these great players, and I hope you won, because now it's going to get a lot tougher, because now you're going to pay him, and that means you're going to not be able to pay as many great players. And it's worked out for a guy like Patrick Mahomes, but you look at like a, I don't know, a Justin Herbert or a Russell Wilson, or I hope you got your Super Bowl in, because you don't win them after Lamar Jackson, perhaps even.
Right.
Josh Allen. I mean,
right.
Get your wins in early.
Yeah. And anyone who wants to reference, like, I don't know, the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill one, they did that during the draft, before the draft.
That's right.
Like, so they had time to figure out what the hell their team looks like. And two, Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback. Like, I think Brock Purdy's a very good quarterback. He ain't Patrick Mahomes. Like, no one is. No one will ever be what he is. And they had no business winning a Super Bowl next year, which is why this whole thing has such trash vibes to it going into this year.
There's a tragic energy existing right now. It's like Shakespearean.
It's like the crumbling pillars of a dynasty that was never truly a dynasty.
Well, you know, I'd love to get into some Warriors talk a little bit later, Jake, but we're talking 49ers right now. You have to remind people about the Patrick Mahomes, you know, Tyreek Hill thing. I think it should also be noted, as much as Brandon Ayuk is going to be a very rich man no matter what happens here, I don't think it's absurd, even though they're probably overdoing it a bit. I don't think it's absurd to be particular about how much you want to pay him, because there is a question of how much of this is the weapons around him creating space, how much of this is now having a quarterback like Brock Purdy, because Brandon Ayuk wasn't doing this with Jimmy Garoppolo or certainly Trey Lance. How much of this is Kyle Shanahan's system, who can turn an Andrew Hawkins into a 100-catch player back in Cleveland? And is Brandon Ayuk closer to an Andrew Hawkins, blasphemy aside here, than he is to two Hall of Famers in Julio Jones and Andre Johnson, prior X receivers for a Kyle Shanahan offense? These are things that need to be brought up. We don't have a clear-cut, definitive answer about Brandon Ayuk, other than he should be paid handsomely. How handsomely? I think the nuance and the devil's in the details there, but I don't think it's ridiculous for the 49ers to really parse it down and be specific here, because you can end up in a really, really bad spot if you make the wrong call, just as they did in reverse with DeForest Buckner. They made the wrong call. And they went and they said, we'll trade DeForest Buckner. We're not going to pay him. We think we can replace him. We're going to re-sign Armstead, and we're going to go get Javon Kinlaw, who it didn't work out. And they've had to chase that bad decision with bad money.
Point of note on that, interesting thing about the Buckner trade, because this has got sort of similar, all right, if their logic, right? They said explicitly, if we trade DeForest Buckner, we get the 13th overall pick. We get to keep Eric Armstead. We get to keep Jimmy Ward. That is what they said.
Ward is also an important part of that, yeah.
They will spin this in a very similar way going forward. That's what they're going to say. The interesting thing about the Buckner trade is they got the 13th pick, traded back. Bucks took Tristan Wirfs. 49ers got Javon Kinlaw. 49ers also got pick 117, which they packaged with another pick and their first round pick to trade up for Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, wow.
So
full circle.
Just a little full circle moment, which I think is pretty funny. Because that was the only thing of like, all right, well, we didn't get Tristan Wirfs, but we traded back and it helped us get Ayuk. And if we didn't have that pick, we wouldn't have Ayuk. So it won't matter if they don't have Brandon Ayuk. But, you know, maybe this is like a galaxy brain scheme to say, all right, let's actually find out if Purdy's worth it. Ayuk, we're going to test you and see if you're worth it. Go elsewhere. Like, let's see if we should pay this guy 55 by getting worse instead of winning a Super Bowl.
But here, as you were noting with the spin, Golden Dragon 5 coming in and making somewhat of a note of it. I almost disagree with everything that's being said here, but the principle of the matter is true. Instead of paying wide receiver Ayuk 26, can we use that instead to keep Talanoa Hufanga and Aaron Banks along with Purdy next offseason? I would not use the money on those two guys personally. That's a personal preference. I am not a Hufanga guy. I think
it's going to be, it's going to be D'Amador Lenore and someone else.
Charvarius Ward is who it's going to be.
Or a bump for Yadam if Ward says, I'm going to get him. It doesn't matter.
You got a little bit of money to work with there. And the D'Amador Lenore is the big one because he goes from very cheap to soon very expensive. If we do want to talk about standouts in camp, I think D'Amador Lenore has taken a bit of advantage or taken for granted a bit. And he's never taken advantage of. He gets his licks in. But he is taken for granted a little bit when it comes to the quality of play that he's put out on the field. They've been using him as the number two, sliding him inside just as they did last year. Renardo Green is there as the number three. Isaac Yadam is there as the number three. They're loaded at corner. They're in a great position.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's nice to have a surplus to needs at some position in the modern NFL. And maybe you can even trade a guy like that. But Lenore is going to go from like $1 million to he'll be worth 11, 12 this time next year. That's just the going rate for a great nickel corner now. And I think the Niners are going to have a hard time, given how hard of a time they had replacing Kaywan Williams, who is, you know, certainly not of this caliber. I think Lenore's a better player than Kaywan Williams.
Anybody remember Isaiah Oliver?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Again, talk about making a bad decision and then chasing it with bad money. There's going to be some guys who get expensive. And the question is, how do you keep them and keep Brandon Ayuk? If you have Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, and Brandon Ayuk, that's half of your salary cap for three players. Ask the Phoenix Suns how that's going. You know, like, it's a dangerous game to play.
Well, they just need a point guard, which they'll never get. That's for another time.
But you get where I'm coming at. Like, would the Niners be better served trying to sign a bunch of middle-class guys as opposed to another wide receiver, especially in this era when wide receivers are so plentiful and so easy to draft?
And maybe that's how they adapt, right? You know, they gave Juwan Jennings that little two-year deal. They've usually stayed away from those, but they did do the same thing with Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos and Jordan Elliott. They added a couple, two-year little tweener deals.
Yep.
And that's interesting because that might be the way, you're right, that might be the way they go. What I would say is like, okay, if Debo has a breakout season, you still got to, are you going to re-up with Debo?
You can trade him. You can trade him for something better. I mean, I do think you move on from Debo and he gets a new contract somewhere else, which is why he's coming into camp. He's going to get paid at the end of this year. The question is who's going to do it. And I think the least likely option is the San Francisco 49ers, but it can work out for the 49ers with the draft pick. I mean, it might even be as simple as the Buckner kind of deal. I don't think it'd be for a first, given how deep Debo is in his career and the way he plays. He's here for a good time, not for a long time. But I think you can get a good high second for Debo Samuel before the draft. And now, hey, here's another wide receiver who's probably, in a bygone era, like 6-7 years ago, a wide receiver that goes at the beginning of the second round, they'd be like a top 10 pick. But now they just are so plentiful. You can get a Keon Coleman, who has some stuff going on, but is an unquestionably talented player. Like, you can get that guy at the beginning of the second round. You can get a Ladd McConkey at the beginning of the second round. Ladd McConkey's sick. Like, he's a really good player. And they're growing like weeds at the college level. Every other position, you're just straggling, looking for something. You don't need to look very hard to find really, really good wide receivers. I mean, shit, some teams have two of them. So I am very hesitant to overpay a Brandon Ayuk. And everyone's definition of overpay is different, but I'm very hesitant to do that because it's the one position that you can replace on the cheap the easiest. And I would pay guys who are difficult to replace on the cheap. So I'm talking defensive ends. I'm talking offensive linemen. I'm talking, you know, corners are tough to replace on the cheap, though Yadam seems to be an absolute steal for the 49ers.
Yeah.
This is quite something, I guess, a quarterback too. Maybe get a good backup while you're at it. I mean, it's how do you see this thing ending?
I know this is like a take, but like my gut this whole time has been like, this is despite like NFL Network being like, I don't see a route for him to come back. I still have this.
That's what he wants you to think.
Yeah. I still have like this weird slight, if we're talking 50-50, I said it was like 55-45, let's say 51%. I still think Ayuk's coming back. Like, I have trouble, unless it is like Devontae Adams, I don't understand how the 49ers get better and they still have leverage that, sure, make the locker room pissed off, but you can keep that 26-a-year offer on the table, go Clay, like, hey, Clay, we made you this offer. Oh, you're going to take less next year? I don't think that's going to be the case with Ayuk, but you can just keep the 26 or whatever on the table and say, all right, maybe we bump it up to 27 going into the year. I don't know. I think the 49ers have to budge a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people are very convinced he's going to Pittsburgh. I just don't understand what Pittsburgh has that the 49ers would want right here, right now on August 7th. And I could be wrong, but this is coming from a place of perhaps misplaced trust in the 49ers front office, that they wouldn't trade one of their most important players in the middle of training camp.
I want to go through some quick hits here with the chat, which has been bumping, and deeply appreciate everyone who's joined us tonight.
Appreciate you guys.
Strong in voice, if not necessarily strong in numbers, but where do we want to go here? Let's just start with this. You just mentioned this, Jake, but keeping the faith, there's a path for Ayuk coming back. Like, when we talk about that path for Ayuk returning, how quickly do you think that this is something that just lingers? Do you think Brandon Ayuk's the kind of guy, knowing him the way that we know him, which isn't like on a deep personal level, but, you know, having built up a little bit of rapport here over the last couple of years, like, is this something where Brandon Ayuk comes in and, you know, with a big fuck you attitude and says, I'm going to prove it, and puts out a monster year so that the 49ers are faced with another dilemma at the end of this season? Or is this something that is insidious and toxic and, you know, lingers throughout the locker room and could possibly bring down this team at what could be the height of their powers?
So I think the thing with the 49ers and their concerns would be, is he going to come in and be weird about it and not be ready to play and like all that? And maybe that's where they're coming from on this, where they just don't think he's going to produce in anywhere near the same way. What I would say is, I think players would go, oh, great, BA got paid, he's back, cool, right, let's move on.
Do you even think he gets paid? Do you think that he gets a contract from the San Francisco 49ers, or does he just play on his fifth year option?
That's the thing. It's like,
I think he plays on the fifth year option. I don't think that there's a route for him to get what he wants from San Francisco after seeing what New England offered him, which I've heard is anywhere between 28.5 to 32. that's kind of wild reporting right now. And obviously, it's kind of all funny money too.
Yeah. Turning down 32 is, there's my dog.
It's all good.
Turning down 32 is pretty wild. If that's really what the number was. Yeah, I think if he is back, it's just like to not pay him after that is kind of wild. But I, you know, if they don't get what they want, they should exercise their ability to just say no and say, play on the fifth year option. Here's our $26 million offer. Take it or leave it, or bet on yourself, and we'll franchise tag you and we'll trade you next offseason, depending on what Debo does. But the fifth year option seems in play.
I would think it's the only way he comes back and plays for the 49ers, because clearly he does not want to sign long term here. Can't say I blame the guy, because as much as money equals respect to a lot of people, probably including myself, at this point, Brandon Ayuk has some exchange rates going on when it comes to what that money actually means. And I think he wants respect that money necessarily can't buy, which is why he's so honed in on Pittsburgh. And you know what? Like, I'm not going to knock any fan who's going to knock Brandon Ayuk. And I'm also not going to defend those fans for knocking Brandon Ayuk. This is his one chance to get crazy big money in a sport that, again, you could die playing. So, I cannot at any point fault someone for going hard. I can fault their tactics, but I can't fault anybody for going hard to getting the bag.
Look at what the Bengals are doing with T. Higgins.
Yeah, I would like to think that the 49ers are better than the Cincinnati Bengals, who employ two NFL scouts. I'd like to think so, but sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder.
They are cheap and a mess, and I'm not saying you should follow their model. I'm just saying teams do it. And
yes.
Just because it's not something you usually do, you're about to do something that you don't usually do, and it'll be much worse for you if you do the other thing that's also uncomfortable. But
I don't know what's going on with T. Higgins. He's also in sort of this this twilight zone era. Any player that you're considering using the franchise tag on, there's not a good answer. The franchise tag exists because there's not a clear-cut answer as to what to do, and there are some guys who just fall in that zone, where it's like, I don't know what we can extend him at because the market doesn't line up with his production, doesn't line up with the realities. And, you know, franchise tags are only used because there's no good answer. And Brandon Ayuk might just be the Kirk Cousins of wide receivers right now. And are you going to get any better by losing him? Fuck no. Like, that's a big problem. But can you pay him what he wants to be paid? Also, fuck no. Like, this is why the franchise tag exists. It's on the Niners if they're willing to eat the shit sandwich of awkwardness and force Brandon Ayuk to come back with the franchise tag looming over his head. Alex Simon checking in. How low of a pick are you willing to accept to get Pickens in a Steelers swap? I'm willing to go day three for a Pickens, because
I'm going the other way. I don't think you want Pickens at all.
Oh, really?
I disagree. I think Pickens is a great wide receiver. I'm saying Kyle Shanahan. I'm saying... Okay. Pickens has a lot of shit that he has pissed some people off over there. He's inconsistent. Yep. You're not going to probably get him to block in the way you want.
When he blocks.
And I know we talk about blocking a lot. I'm just saying Kyle Shanahan. I'm not saying if I was running a team. I'm saying from Kyle Shanahan's perspective, I don't think you're really like you kind of, if you're dealing with Pittsburgh, you kind of need Pickens in the deal. And also, I don't think you want him. So I don't Pickens in a first. I think if that was the deal, I guess
never going to happen.
You accept it, but Pittsburgh's not going to do that either. I don't think that's a win-win for either side.
Well, Pittsburgh doesn't want to include Pickens because he's their one and only good wide receiver. So, probably not in their best interest if they are, again, if you're going for Brandon Ayuk, you're trying to win, sure that Brandon Ayuk is your one and only good receiver does not help you win. It's the opposite of the 49ers problem, but it's a problem. And I think I can't speak to George Pickens' mindset. I would venture to say that he probably gets an unfair rap because he is an eccentric gentleman. Let's put it that way.
And to be clear, he's fucking sick.
And
if he was on a championship team, he'd probably have a little less of those issues, but
if we're willing, you and I are both willing to take Amari Cooper back, right? And Amari Cooper is nothing but a consummate professional, no nonsense, no bullshit, quiet to a fault, like legitimately, like all of these things. George Pickens is quite the opposite, but George Pickens has this upside. I would also note that George Pickens has 2 years left of team control. He is younger than Brandon Ayuk. So, you know, when you're talking about the now and the later of the Cleveland offer, which is, you know, Amari Cooper and a second round pick, fuck that. You get it right here and now with George Pickens. Yeah. And yes, you're taking a risk, but you're taking a risk no matter what, because you have one in the hand and you have to go to the two in the bush. I think that the upside of a George Pickens can legitimately be a better player than Brandon Ayuk. Is that a likely outcome? I don't know. That's for the 49ers to bet on. It's certainly not the case currently. It's not far away currently, but it's not the case currently. He has more room to grow. I'm personally someone of the mindset who thinks that we've seen the best Brandon Ayuk has to offer in San Francisco, which is second team all pro, very, very good and worthy of more money. But I think I'm willing to, if everything you're going to eat is going to be a loss for the 49ers here, because you have very little leverage, because I think, let's go back to the very first comment here. And I think this is an important point. Time to get on Madden and trade Ayuk to the Panthers. Okay. First off, very funny. Second, I have heard this second part suggested, not particularly the Panthers, but just trade Ayuk to blank, trade Ayuk to blank. Brandon Ayuk cannot be traded to any team that Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to play for, because Brandon Ayuk has to show up for a physical in order to consummate the trade. And Brandon Ayuk will not show up for a physical as a player currently under contract. He has the right to not show up to a physical if he doesn't want to. He will not show up for a physical to a team that does not have a new contract for him, or that he doesn't believe will sign him to a new contract. So the idea of sending him to Siberia just does not work. It's not a possibility, which is why we're sort of in this conundrum.
Better point, and maybe this is how we close it, there should be a Siberia Bowl, you know?
Very good.
You know, with sponsored Western Kentucky by like play in it. Canada Goose, the Canada Goose Frozen Tundra Bowl. You just go way the hell up to Canada, where
played in Winnipeg, in
Yakutsk, you know, near Russia, somewhere way the hell up there, and just say, it's literally a frozen field, like in backyard football. Get out there.
I'm sure that the two teams that are invited to that bowl would be so happy. They would love it so much. It's hard enough to get these fuckers to go to Shreveport, America's tourism
NIL
capital.
NIL money, baby. NIL, you know? Big Canada Goose.
I don't think there's enough money.
Goose them boys.
And by the way, you know, not to ESPN would have to put that on because they own all the bowl games now. Not sure if y'all know this, but ESPN might as well, you know, the Bahamas Bowl, it's attended by dozens. They don't care about the attendance. And I think you should start doing it in weird places. I think you should start putting bowls on sound stages. Yeah. I don't give a shit. So
they send Siberia Bowl to Walmart in Alaska. You can do Siberia Bowl,
the Kichiton Alaska Bowl. That'd be a good one.
Oh yeah.
Let's get funky with it. And that's how we end our Brandon Ayuk segment here on the Dieter.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate you joining us on this weird Wednesday night. As deranged as this situation is, and as stupid as this season might get, we've got some good stuff in store for you folks. And
We're loaded up. Unlike the 49ers with whatever trade package they're about to receive, we are loaded up. And by the way, you know, a deranged situation, who would you rather talk to than two deranged men talking football?
Right.
We're going to talk to you after the preseason game on Saturday. We'll do a 53-man breakdown real quick after the game. Will Brandon Ayuk even be on the 49ers roster come Saturday? We will find out. And honestly, if something goes down, we'll probably hop on and talk about it. But until then, stay sick, huh?
Appreciate you, folks. Appreciate you. And